folks. Welcome to the very first installment of the Mouth Fist podcast, starring Ryan Speck. Ryan, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Ryan Speck, proprietor of MediaGauntlet.com, where you may or may not be listening to this file, and sometimes writer.
What have you written?
I wrote the novel The Big Rusty Lie and short stories of little import.
Little import. I'm Steve Saunders. I write stuff and have written comics that you've probably never read, and do a lot of editing, and basically fall into the catch-all term of freelance writer, which basically means I'm not writing for television or movies, and other stuff too. I'm kind of a nerd, and honestly, it's probably unlikely that you've come across this podcast so far if you've never heard of Ryan or myself. And if you have heard of us, it would be. And if you have heard of us, I would like to take this time to apologize to you sincerely. But there are worse things, like anal torture with a sawfish, I guess. So
I refuse to apologize because...
That's why I'm apologizing for both of us. You never apologize for anything, Ryan.
And if you know me, you know what you're getting into.
That's true.
You bought your ticket and you take the fucking ride.
That's right. Maybe at some point we'll do an entire podcast where Ryan tells us his opinion about Kevin Smith, and I will defend Kevin Smith, and then you will wonder why we are friends. That's what I'm thinking.
That would be a tedious lesson, Steve.
That's true. It's actually ruined friendships before. This is how strongly Ryan feels about Kevin Smith. So... that was pretty epic.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
Why are we doing a podcast?
Because we've talked about it for years, and we both talk all the time about stuff. In fact, you may be the friend of mine I talk to the most, and I have a feeling I might be the friend you talk to the most. And so our conversations are, at least to us, are entertaining and informative. And I don't need TV Guy. I got Ryan Speck. You know, like
that is true.
It's true. It's very true. And Ryan doesn't need...
I also have an on-screen guide that's available. So.
Yep, that's true. And you can also read Ryan's opinions about TV and stuff over at MediaGauntlet.com.
When I actually post anything, which is about once per year. So stay tuned.
Roughly. Sometimes twice a year.
Keep on the edge of your seats, kids.
That's right. And also the... Ryan comes to me if he ever needs, gaming information or information on comics, which is never so.
Yeah.
But sometimes I tell him and he kind of nods sagely and pretends he listens to me, which is, I think I'm one of the three people in the world he does that for, which is, rather nice.
But if we want to talk about how badly comics has gone downhill since the early 90s or
1993,
talk about Crossbones as a character, then, yeah.
Oh, man, I love Crossbones.
We're the people to do that.
Or Crossbones as a character, also known as the band Combi Christ.
Yes.
So, yep.
Mm. The rain of blood from your vagina.
That's true. Yeah. And also, just so you know, you as the listener would probably have an idea of what you're getting into, because so far this is G-rated material for me and Ryan.
That is true.
Or to be grammatically correct, Ryan and I. And essentially,
On top of the potential of horrible vulgarities, images that people may not want ingrained in their mind and other things, there will be a liberal use of proper grammar.
Liberal use of proper grammar. I like that.
I may use the word fudginate.
Fudginate. I like that. Fudginate. That has to do... When you say fudginate, the first thing that comes to mind is indeed Donkey Show. But we were talking about Kevin Smith earlier, so it's certainly... possible.
I know he has performed in a Donkey Show or two.
That's true. Clerks 2, for instance. And there's, what was I going to say? It's just going to be vulgar, folks. It's called Mouth Fist for a reason. So, and we're finally doing a podcast because I think I answered the question adequately. I should also point out that since Ryan's grammar will be way better than mine. And I actually do editing for part of my living, so it's pretty hilarious. I have yet to write a Facebook post that's grammatically correct, I think. So, and then I laugh all the way to the bank when people pay me. So,
yeah. You always want to start out with the podcast with telling people that may have paid you in the past to do a job that they're unbelievable suckers. At least that's how I like to do it.
That's how I like to do it, too. I actually don't listen to many podcasts. I have no idea what people are doing out there. I think the last podcast I really listened to was the Comics on Comics radio podcast, which, incidentally, was one I was a part of. Yeah. So
you were forced to listen to it by the fact that you were actually on it.
Yeah, I listened to about half the episodes. So, basically.
Yeah, I've never been a huge podcast listener myself because I find it infuriates me to listen to podcasts because I want to get into conversations with the people that are talking to explain to them why the detail they've mentioned out loud is actually factually incorrect or that their opinion is missing some incredibly large piece of information. And it sort of grates on my nerves to sit there and listen to somebody talk and then want to respond, so I end up either wanting to write some long screed to the people that did it, or if it's my friends that have done the podcast, I end up sending them a bunch of retarded messages complaining about what they were saying. So either way, it's not for fun to listen to a podcast. Sometimes it makes decent background noise if it's the right subject matter, but yeah, otherwise I myself have a hard time like getting through them.
I would listen to it more if I traveled more and stuff like that. I listen to some gaming podcasts here and there. Like I've listened to my friend's podcast Stabbing Contest before. Yes. But the thing is, I was going to say, if anyone, so the four of you out there who are listening intently right now, hanging on our every word, if you, whatever we say.
And congratulations, because you've gotten pretty far.
And probably have no life whatsoever.
7 minutes. They're definitely in it for the long haul if they've stayed 7 minutes.
That's right. We're probably not going to edit much of this either. We'll keep all the awkward pauses and the ums and the ahs in there because it's all like – it's kind of like the podcast version of Shaky Cam, you know? So but what I was going to say is if anybody ever wants to join us on a podcast, because we'd like to get some like people out there who are like game designers or people I know like who still will talk to me in the comic industry or whatever on the podcast or, you know,
people
maybe –
people want to call Kevin Smith horrible names.
Yeah, pretty much. And or you know, if you really listen to this podcast and you dislike or like what we're saying and want to get involved, it really is just recorded over Skype. So we could pretty much have anybody on this podcast in a giant podcast gangbang for, you know.
That is true. If you've got a decent internet connection, you're more than welcome to jump on this.
Hmm. And jump on it hard.
Man, and for those of you that are still listening and are listening on public transportation, I want you to look around right now because one of the people around you is secretly masturbating.
If not physically, certainly in their mind. And if you're a woman,
you're getting eyeballed. You're getting seriously hairy eyeballed right now.
That's right. You're getting basically, I guess, your boobs are getting
eye-fondled.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you have big boobs, little boobs, whatever. It could be a woman too doing this, or a scary old man who has no teeth.
Someone on that bus is thinking about stabbing you right now.
That's true. That's usually me if you see me on the bus, by the way. And it has nothing to do with you personally. It's just that I have like a, you know, very, I probably should even talk about that. So, but yeah, it's true.
It's that hipster haircut. You really shouldn't have gotten that. And now that old man that smells like urine is going to stab you, and there's no way you can avoid it.
No way. And you know what? If there were stabbings on public transportation, I would probably walk places less. So I'd definitely be a big bus guy. But anyway, we should probably get to like some subjects on here because you're probably listening to this going, I thought you said there was some gaming shit on here, you dick faces. What the fuck? And well, we'll get to that. So what do you want to talk about first, Ryan? Dragonlance or Born to Fight?
Born to Fight is more kind of anecdotal than anything that can be really be considered any form of review or anything like that. Dragonlance, why would you watch that again, Steve? Because personally, my experience with Dragonlance was limited. I tried to watch it. I've never really read Dragonlance. I'm familiar with the setting from the second edition AD&D days. I think I have had one of the books. Somebody just like gave to me. I kind of flipped through it, never read it, and then loaned it to somebody else, never saw it again. So limited experience, seemed like as far as the writing goes, but yeah, I started watching that animated film, got through And you know well that I watch a lot of deeply shitty things on purpose.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean,
it's totally awesome.
People who may have read some of the older reviews on Media Gauntlet may have noticed that I would watch a lot of terrible, terrible things just for the purpose of review, self-amusement, boredom. But I tried watching Dragonlance, and I just could not get through it. I got through 30 minutes, and I was like, I'm out. That's it.
Keep this in mind. Ryan and I will defend Uwe Boll. Like, we will defend him in some of his films, in some aspects of his films.
Blood Rain 2 was pretty well directed. Postal was actually a pretty decent movie.
See, like, I will say that Postal was shitty, but mildly amusing in parts, and actually some, the intro part was hilarious, if you have a very twisted sense of humor. And Blood Rain 2 was okay. It was definitely more interesting than Blood Rain, which was terrible.
The writing wasn't very good, but the acting was decent. It had some good character actors, and it had decent direction. And the Name of the King was, we both enjoyed that as a stupid fantasy film.
And I like Darfur was really good, for what it was. But here's the thing is, for those of you listening that don't know what Dragonlance is, Dragonlance, as far as I know, and this is a nutshell version, I might get some of my facts screwed up, so just take this for what you will. Dragonlance was a campaign setting, meaning a gaming setting for Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, from the early 80s, and it was based on one of the game designers' campaign world, which were turned into novels, three novels, and they were basically, it's essentially a Lord of the Rings pastiche, done in a more pulpy way. There are some differences and aspects that, well, are, for lack of a better term, different, but it's essentially the same thing. It's like if Tolkien was a more exciting novel writer, then it would be definitely, you know, with less history and stuff.
And it had a lot of people riding around on dragon back with lances, doing like dragon jousting or whatever. It's
Lord of the Rings fantasy fan service, essentially. Yeah. And also Margaret Weiss wrote the books.
It's got that touch of Anne McCaffrey in there.
Right, exactly. And so it's Dragon Riders of Pern meets Lord of the Rings. I liked them as a kid. I really enjoyed them. So a few years back, like 2007, I think, they decided to do the first book, Dragons of Autumn Twilight, I believe. It's called into an animated film, and it stars like Kiefer Sutherland as Raistlin, the mage who has his own little agenda, and he goes from basically evil to good to evil to neutral, whatever. And it has Lucy Lawless as Goldmoon, and other voices, you know, semi-recognizable voice actors or whatever. And so I watched it a couple of years back. It was terrible. I talked about how it's essentially like people are talking about curing AIDS. They should have noticed that, like, they showed AIDS this movie, AIDS would be cured, to be eradicated. It's basically the Adolf Hitler of, I shouldn't say that. I mean, like, it's the Adolf Hitler of animated features, because that's really insulting Adolf Hitler, and I'm very sorry to the Hitler family. But yeah, it's bad.
Hitler did a lot of great things for infrastructure.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Where would our technology be today without the Nazis? But Dragonlance has brought nothing to the table.
And by the way, if anyone listening takes that seriously and wants to write us hate mail, you're a fucking idiot.
Feel free. media@mediagauntlet.com. Feel free to send in viewer email at any time.
What was that email address again?
media@mediagauntlet.com.
Gauntlet.com.
Yes.
There you go, folks. And so anyway, Dragonlance, I'm going to be fair because I wanted to watch it again. I want to show my girlfriend, who's wonderful, Dragonlance, like, because she's a fan of this kind of stuff.
Because you like her so much that you want to ruin her life. In a way that you didn't already ruin it by going out with her.
And making fun of domestic violence in 3, 2, 1. Some people beat their wives and girlfriends. I show mine Dragonlance. Oh, now we're getting email. We're going to get email for this.
media@mediagauntlet.com.
It's okay. But anyway, so I want to watch Dragonlance. And, well, first off, my first problem is, other than it's just a shitty animated thing, it looks like it's straight out of like a G.I. Joe cartoon from the 80s. And my girlfriend pointed out that right away as well. Now, she was expecting something horrible, yes. Right?
Yeah.
But so I went into Dragonlance thinking, because I read like Tracy Hickman's review of it on Amazon, and he swelled with pride that his creation was this amazing thing. And I didn't know his amazing thing was like a gigantic stringy turd. And it's like, and I would tell them to his face, and I respect him immensely, even though I think he's a Mormon, but I respect him immensely, and I'm a fan, but I would be like, dude, Because then I thought, like, maybe I'm being a bit of a fanboy. You know, fanboys are never satisfied. Star Trek, the motion picture, is made from badger sex, etc. And so I'm like, okay, cool. You know, like, maybe it's like an episode one, episode two, episode three of Star Wars kind of hate, which makes no sense because I'm not 9 years old. So
it looked of lower quality than the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon from the 80s.
That's exactly what my girlfriend was saying. So it's the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon from the 80s in animation style. And even the opening credits, you and I right now, while we're doing this podcast, could come up with a better sequence of credits than the, it's just like they just typed it into a machine and said, there's your fucking credits. So we're going into this whole thing. Dude, the Lord of the Rings animated features that came out back in the 70s are better, like the late 70s.
The Bakshi ones?
Yeah, the Bakshi ones are vastly superior to the Dragonlance film. Dragonlance probably started production in like 2005, 2006.
Makes you wonder if they just animated the whole thing in Flash or something.
Right. So it gets worse, though. But wait, there's more. The thing about it is, so you got this really crappy, like, I could deal with this old G.I. Joe, you know, Dungeons and Dragons cartoon animation. I could deal with it. I'm okay with that. Is the story good? No. Now, someone in the industry said that the original script is actually quite good. But as we all know, it doesn't matter in the end because it's like the opposite rings true for good films. Most good films have shitty scripts that just, you know, or whatever. But the point is, so after all this crappy animation, they introduced the Draconians, which is the, you know, play on words name of the dragon men. For those who have no idea what I'm talking about, they're like the dragon humanoids that are oppressing everybody. You know, the Draconians. But anyway, the Draconians are all done in that really bad Hercules first Legendary Journeys first season CGI.
Yeah, which did not mesh at all.
No. And it was done from a completely different. I was looking through the credits because this time I read the credits instead of wanting to go vomit my face off and kill myself after watching.
You made a list of names for eventual murder.
Like, yeah, it's murder of people. Well, maybe. But the point is, like, there's people like in, it looked like Korea. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was Korea. People in like a very tiny bound of people in the U.S. and India.
Korea tends to be the place most animation is outsourced to. If you still do traditional animation.
But the 3D model animation, which my girlfriend pointed out, looked like it was unfinished. It wasn't shadowed right or whatever. It was just plopped in like their character models. That was done in India, from what I saw.
Which is not the place you go to for CG modeling these days. Which means it was really, really cut rate. Obviously. They were cutting corners because if you go to India for something like that, you're definitely trying to save money.
Look, in the recent times, I had an issue with a comic book where the artist was great, but there was a communication issue because the guy that set it up completely dropped the fucking ball and didn't tell me the guy didn't speak English. In the end, we managed to figure things out, but it caused a huge amount of problems, so the comic didn't come out the way I'd written it, and it's still better than Dragonlance. In a non-biased way, it's better than Dragonlance. At least the show Dragonlance. I like the game Dragonlance. But the point is, there was a point where I almost killed it. I was like, you know what? Screw this. But luckily, the art was good enough, and we managed to save it. Dragonlance is one of those things where I've been like, I know we've dumped like $6 into this whole thing. Okay, yeah, I should be realistic. $6,000 into this whole thing. And maybe we should just kill it. But I think they're just like, well, we got this. Might as well just sell it and see what money we can make.
Yeah, they have to recoup expenses at the very least.
And also, I watched Dragonlance to answer more specifically. I watched Dragonlance so I could like the Warhammer 40,000 Ultramarines movie more. Yeah. And you know what? I did. So, you know, because Ultramarines, as much as like the bitch about it, it's way better. It is vastly superior to the Dragonlance film.
It doesn't look terrible, and it doesn't play terrible. It's just
average.
It's mediocre, and the writing is kind of poor, which is funny since supposedly Dan Abnett had something to do with the writing, but you can't tell because it just is a mishmash of shit, and it feels like they just got a lot of details terribly wrong. But
well, you and I both know that the end product that you see on screen, that is probably like, I like to think that Mutant Chronicles, based on the Matt Forbeck book, Mutant Chronicles, they did of the film, was great. So I assume that the Mutant Chronicles movie script was amazing. And what they got instead was like this laughable thing. So.
I mean, it probably comes from him providing a big full script. I mean, it's kind of a lot like video games or something, where he probably provided a lot of information for them to work off of, and then everything was left up to their discretion during the process. Since it's a CG animated film, it's completely within their purview. So they just ran with it, and then they get the fucking movie back, and it's like, wow, what the fuck did they do?
To be fair to Dragonlance, it wasn't as bad the second time through. It's definitely could have been improved by someone like Uwe Boll directing it, or in charge of the production. And as much as I love Uwe Boll, that's an insult. So it was terrible. Don't buy it. Download it and watch it. I am encouraging piracy at this moment. Do not spend money on this thing. If you like it, more power to you. I don't judge. Some people like shit porn, literally. Some people like Dragonlance. And I'd rather hang out with somebody who prefers shit on the face. I'm serious. Like, people think I'm saying that for effect, and it's in hyperboles. I'm not kidding. It is terrible.
It probably makes sense that it looks so terrible, given the fact that the guy who was the director of the movie was heavily involved with cartoons in the 80s. Like, possible. He worked as a storyboard artist for years for stuff like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, G.I. Joe, X-Men Evolution, Captain Planet, Bucky O'Hare, Swamp Thing, Real Ghostbusters, Cops.
All good shows.
Cops, the acronym COPS.
Right.
So yeah, he was a storyboard artist and storyboard director for years for like all those 80s productions.
Well, now I feel bad.
And then he directed, he's directed a couple decent things, but he directed a lot of episodes of Real Ghostbusters, Captain Planet. So the only things he's done recently really of any merit is Ultimate Avengers 2. So,
which is good. I enjoyed that.
So obviously there must have been a problem. Ultimate Avengers 2, he probably had a lot higher budget to work off of. But this is a guy who's very familiar with 80s cartoons, which is why it feels like an 80s cartoon.
I simply don't believe you now that the guy who did Ultimate Avengers 2 is the one
who
did Dragon.
He directed it. He directed both of them.
I refuse to believe that. That's like saying that This man cured cancer, all cancers, and you see him throwing up at a frat party with donkey shows and shit.
Ultimate Avengers 2 had three directors.
Oh, okay.
Including a supervising director, which was not this guy, Will Mugniot.
Okay. I just...
Which every time I've seen his name in credits before, it's spelled Mugniot. But I swear every time I see it, I think in my head, mein Gott!
Mein Gott! Mein Gott! Meine Liebe! I was going to say, before we move on, real quick, a lot of people I've bitched about this too will say, well, like how I have my Braveheart rant as well. People say, like, well, could you do any better? And I'm like, well, it's not my job as a fan to do that. However, with Dragonlance, like, I couldn't do a better movie than Braveheart, I'm sure. I've never done a film before. I couldn't do Ultramarines better than what they did. Of course not. But could I do Dragonlance better? Fuck yeah, I could. I could do it with stick figures. I could do it with stick figures and a dirty tampon, and I would do a much better film. Seriously. Not kidding. And any last words on that Dragonlance thing?
If I had two bullets and Dragonlance and Hitler and Stalin all on a deserted island, I would give the gun to Hitler and let him shoot Dragonlance twice.
We're going to get some shit about liking Hitler. Oh, my God.
We are now a neo-Nazi pro-Hitler podcast.
Oh, man.
In the first episode.
First episode. It's already better. Yay.
But yeah, I guess at least...
Next up, an entire podcast about Wolfenstein.
At least we would have a built-in audience.
Yeah, well, we could do an entire podcast from the perspective of the dudes in Wolfenstein to get killed. All the Nazis. But
Worst job ever.
Worst job ever. Your job is to be killed.
Fuck that temp agency. Jesus Christ.
What sucks is they must have pissed off the people that made Captain America, which I enjoyed the last Captain America film, but I really wanted them to be full-blown Nazis, not a bunch of Hydra dudes.
Yeah.
Because Captain America punching Nazis is really what I was there for.
Yeah, so. I mean, it kind of makes sense in a way.
Does.
And also, I mean, people complained endlessly about there's no Nazis in the film, and people complain that to show it in Germany, they wouldn't have any, like, Nazi symbols or anything like that. But at the same time, I mean, they at least had a couple Nazis show up in it to ask what the hell Hyder was doing before they got annihilated.
I think you can show Nazi symbols in Germany as, I mean, you know, I've lived in Germany, I mean, I love Germans and blah, 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 so German friends don't get too offended, but you're gonna. I think you should be able to show Nazi symbols in Germany if you're showing a film where the Germans were giant douchebags for 12 years. And I mean, enormous douchebags.
So give it a pass on like historical merit, possibly.
That's, yeah, exactly. Like you could show Valkyrie in Germany.
You may have trouble proving historical merit of a Captain America film, but
I don't know.
I would assume that Downfall has, like, though I've never seen it, I mean, obviously, we've all seen one scene repeatedly, but
I have a story related to that, by the way.
To Downfall? What is it? Der Untergang?
Der Untergang, yeah. I was working in a mall job for a while in an electronics store, let's say. And this girl, these two women, young women came in, they were university students. They're talking about, like, I said something and I was selling batteries. And I go, look at this big battery pack. You can build a time machine and go back and punch Hitler in the face with this big giant battery pack. And they're like, and one of them was like, I don't know who that is. And I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. But I try to be nice about it, but obviously I had the, I don't, like, you gotta be fucking kidding me look on my face, because it was crazy. I know you've heard this story before, Ryan. This is for our listeners' benefit.
Isn't all of this, in a way, for our listeners' benefit, hopefully?
True, true. And anyway, the point is, I told her that Adolf Hitler was a famous German movie star. You may have seen him in a lot of YouTube videos. He's a comedy actor, and he would be in these YouTube videos talking about Xbox stuff, acting all serious. And one's like, oh, yeah, I've totally seen him, blah, blah, blah. And I cried. So a little piece of me died inside, because they were like 21 years old. And if you don't know who Adolf Hitler is,
these people,
like,
managed to get out of the basic education they're supposed to have without ever learning these things.
Yeah, when Canadians say that Americans are uneducated, I just, usually my response is a very eloquent, go fuck yourself. It's, the schools up here are just as bad, if not worse in some cases, because there's no uniformity to them, to me, at least to me. I'm sure some of my teacher friends would argue with that, but they're on strike right now. So,
anyway. No. What do you learn in high school in, like, the Yukon? How to hollow out a beaver and make a hat?
I assume they're more educated because they're more bored up there, and there's nothing else to do. I mean, hell, there's a fucking Games Workshop store in Yellowknife, which I think is the Yukon. maybe it's the Northwest Territories, whatever, it's all the same. So but anyway, point is that these girls, I told them all that, and there's one of my buddies working there, he almost pissed himself trying not to laugh. Like he was trying so hard. I've also, like, you know, I would sit there and I go, so if you're, there's a lot of Germans that are here in Victoria, tourists, so when you see them, you need to tell them the standard German greeting. And she's like, oh, what's that? I'm like, Heil Hitler. And she's like, okay. And at first I thought she was fucking with me, but she was actually seriously listening to what I was saying and making mental notes. And I could not write better comedy than that. Real life is awesome. And people are fools. And it's great. Like, I can understand my girlfriend's kids not knowing who Adolf Hitler is. They're almost 12. That's okay.
They should still have some world history to learn sometime.
Yeah, I still give them, they're nice kids. I still give them a lot of shit about it. But, you know, it's like, you know what the Holocaust is? Oh, my God. And, but when you're in university, what Americans call college.
Especially strange given how many 12-year-olds are playing, like, World War II-based shooters.
Yeah, well, it's educational. They at least know what the fuck World War II is. Most high school graduates, from what I've encountered, have no idea what World War II
yeah.
is.
Yeah, World War II is where you camp noob fags. That's what World War II is.
Okay, let's move on to Born to Fight. I have not seen this, so you need to tell me about Born to Fight.
Okay, so I'm at Best Buy, as I am now about once every 2 years. I mean, it used to be, you used to go to Best Buy, you'd walk around, you'd buy a fucking stack of DVDs, it was the early 2000s, times were good, you'd go in there, the place would be wall-to-wall DVDs, and it was like a magical kingdom where the possibilities were limitless. And these days you go in and it's like this sad ramshackle shithole that the half the store is TVs, and then you've got like four DVD racks.
Just to point out to you, Best Buy, that's one thing I have over here in Canada. Best Buy here is just like it was in the States, because Canada is like 10 years behind. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
That is true. I'm going to send you some more acid wash jeans, Steve.
Thanks, buddy. I need to trade them for food.
So, walking around, I have a $50 gift card that I got for Christmas like 2 years ago that I forgot about being in my wallet and decided to finally use. So, walking around trying to find something, ended up buying a $30 refrigerator water filter being the main thing because, well, might as well buy water filter from my refrigerator since it's hard to find anything worthwhile. I don't play console games. Their PC game selection is okay but limited, so I'm walking around the DVD section. There's actually a few more decent things than there were this time last year when I went in the last time to try to spend some like credit I had.
As a point, just so you know, listeners, Ryan is a cinemaphile, like hardcore. Like, this is the guy I talk to about movies. Like, this is the guy to talk to. Please continue.
Yet at the same time, I'm not enough of a cinemaphile to be like particularly snobbish about it. I watch shitty things. I try to like everything I watch. I'm not the type of person who is looking for shit. I want to find movies I love everywhere. The same thing with music, same thing with television. I want to like everything because I have so much goddamn free time. I have the time that I need to fill with things I love. But a lot of things are just not good. So, yeah. So I mean, I'm not going to give it a pass just because I'm bored.
Right.
Well, most of the time, unless it's really funny. But so I like Tony Jaa.
Who's Tony Jaa?
Thai martial artist, best known for Ong Bak the Thai Warrior.
Okay.
And The Protector, which I think was called like Tom Yong Gook or something like that.
Some kind of Thai menu dish. Yeah, okay, got it.
But in the U.S. was known as The Protector. It was released by the Weinsteins like after Quentin Tarantino. They had the rights to it forever, and Quentin Tarantino made them release it or something after it just sat there for years, and they edited the shit out of it, and I saw it, and I was like, man, this movie feels like it's really short. It, like, they edited out everything in between the fight scenes, and I looked online, and I was like, holy shit, the original was like 35 minutes longer. I was like,
wow,
those bastards. I mean, I want to see the original now. How dare they, like, edit out everything that made the movie make sense? And then I watched the full version. I'm like, oh my god, why are they having the Thai people act in English? They shot the movie in Australia, and then like he gets his like Thai buddy to badly phonetically pronounce English, and it's like,
aww.
Wow, this is really terrible. I can see why the Weinsteins edited out every scene in between the fight scenes. I almost apologize to you, scumbag Weinstein brothers. But yeah, those were good movies, great martial arts sequences. So I pass by this display, and I see this Born to Fight trilogy with Tony Jaa on the cover, his name at the top. You turn around to the back, and it says, blah, 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 Born to Fight, inspired Tony Jaa. Second movie, Tony Jaa was with his mentor and inspiration in the film, director and star Panna Ritikrai. And they starred in it together. And then the third movie, Born to Fight 3, like Tony was assistant action director and stunt double to basically everybody in the movie. And then of course you find out later that that's not true. Tony Jaa like was maybe a stunt double in like a couple of the scenes of one of the movies. And they basically just took three Panna Ritikrai movies and stuffed them together on a really cheap DVD. And like the special features have like really, really bad subtitles.
Awesome.
The audio is broken on one of the special features, so you can't hear the Thai audio to begin with, and the English subtitles, they don't even make sense. It's like they're so badly translated that obviously by someone who didn't speak English that well to begin with. So whoever translated the English didn't know enough English to be translating. So, I watched the first one. I tried to start watching the second one, but it really would have required a lot more of my attention than it needed. But so, yeah, first of all, Born to Fight, if you see it and you're expecting Tony Jaa movies, don't pick it up. If you're interested in some weird, really cheaply made early 80s, like 1984 for the first one, the later ones are probably like late 80s to mid 90s, and the first one was actually known as Born to Fight, though obviously that wasn't its original title. I'm not sure if that was a title translation or if it was just a name they chose for international distribution, but eventually he made a new movie called Born to Fight that I think may have also been known as Born to Fight 3 that came out in like 2004 that's supposed to be actually a decent movie. But these movies are all old, just a random selection of this guy's movies. And they're don't have bad fight scenes and stuff. I mean, you can see how a lot of it influenced Tony Jaa, like why this inspired him when he was 12 years old to learn like Muay Thai, kickboxing, and eventually make good movies out of these. And the guy that made the movies actually went on and co-wrote like Ong Bak, I think all three Ong Bak movies with Tony Jaa. It's like, so it's interesting, I guess, as a historical footnote, but my God, the plot was incomprehensible. I don't know if the plot makes sense to Thai people, if it's a translation issue. It's just the weirdest movie. I mean, I don't know if it's something about the Thai sensibility, but it's a really weird... The first movie is really strange. It feels really long. It's an hour and 33 minutes.
I've only ever seen the Born to Fight American adaptation, which is called Born Free. Right?
Yes.
Oh, I got that wrong?
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure that's correct. In the Thai movie, though, the lion kicks people in the face in the Thai version. Yeah, so.
In the Thai version, they eat the lions? I don't know. I love the Thai people. Don't know. Stop the hate mail.
It's very weird. If this was representative of all Thai movies, I would feel like their entire cinema is like 80s Bollywood films.
What's wrong with that? That sounds awesome.
It's kind of insane. It's a little nuts.
So it's like Turkish movies.
Because okay. It's like, it's a martial arts fight movie, but it starts off with this really long, incomprehensible prologue that's done mainly in voiceover about this guy who gets information on the mob or something, and none of it makes any goddamn sense, and then he runs off, and then you are introduced to your main character who's like teaching martial arts to two random urchins that turn out to, I guess, be his siblings or something while on, like, a farm, but it's implied that he's a cop. It's like... And then, like, nothing takes place in a city. Everything's, like, rural. So he, like... And he, after having some pointless fight scenes, like, it goes off to, like, help find this guy that's run away, but the guy has a lookalike in the same village, and there's confusion, and it's potential martial arts fight scenes for no reason, and his buddy gets stabbed with a knife in the lower abdomen and dies within 45 seconds after, like, having long monologue, because everyone knows a thrown stiletto knife wound in the, like, lower intestine is instant death within probably 2 minutes. But it just didn't make any sense, and then the martial arts fight scenes were actually pretty decent for being done on no budget with just a bunch of dudes like falling off of like vehicles and like getting thrown off of objects into like sand. It was impressive to watch a bunch of people inspired by like Chinese martial arts movies making a really low budget, fairly tough martial arts film. It was kind of undercut by the fact that every time there's like a good move, usually involving somebody being kicked in the face or a really good stunt, they cut and then they reshow that same shot of footage at least two or three times in a row. They like it stop like it shows it and then it shows it again and then it shows it again. It's not even like show it again in slow motion. It just like, I mean, though sometimes they do show it in slow motion. Sometimes they show it in slow motion to begin with and then follow it up with another shot of showing it again in slow motion. Not even alternate angles. Like some movies you'll see like a guy get punched in the face and then a guy get punched in the face from a different angle and then punched in the face from a different angle to show him just getting his ass beat down. This is just the same shot three times and you're like, okay, let's move it along. You probably could lose 15 minutes off of the movie just on the needless multiple shots. But then in between is all this plot that doesn't make any sense, people sitting around talking, and weird comedy that doesn't quite feel right. It feels like it should be like the type of comedy that should be in some wacky Jackie Chan Drunken Master movie, but it's in a movie that's trying to be serious and have this dense, incomprehensible plot about people trying to find other people.
What you're saying is people should not expect the Oscar award-winning stylings of Crank.
People should not expect, like, bad Asian cinema from the past decade. People should not expect, like, a bad Jackie Chan movie from, like, the late 80s and early 90s. People should expect, like, the type of thing they would find on a $7 3 DVD. Well, not even 3 DVD, a $7 3 movie set. When you pay $7...
Remember the ninja films, like Revenge of the Ninja, the...
I remember Enter the Ninja, the Italian ninja movie starring Franco Nero as the white ninja. I've watched that, and boy, nobody does ninja quite like a fat Italian man.
I need to see those.
And he's not fat. He's just like a middle-aged dude that's starting to go to pot a little, and he's getting the gut, and it's like... And he's got the big bushy like 80s like Italian dude stash, and it's just so weird. Like any Italian movie is going to be weird and bad to begin with. The Italians just don't know how to make movies.
There's a reason why the Roman Empire collapsed, kids. It's because of the terrible movies they make.
It's the Italian filmmaking industry caused the collapse of Rome.
It's an undead Garibaldi doing all the films today, and the Lich Lord keeps its control
their
of the film industry.
Really is like spaghetti westerns and crappy like zombie movies that are mainly known for their level of gore more than any plot or special effects. That is the peak of Italian cinema. Like everything else is just like,
you know, like Suspiria.
Oh god, fuck Argento.
I like Suspiria, but yeah.
I don't like Italian horror movies. I don't like the lame giallo horror crap. But, I mean, that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, we should probably talk about that another podcast.
We're already about 45 minutes in.
Yeah. Let's continue. We're going to discuss Taken.
Which I also bought while I was at Best Buy, so.
Yep, it's Taken. I'm pretty sure you'll agree here with me, Ryan, when I say it's one of the – I would put it in my top 10 for, like, action films. Probably my top 5. It's one of the best action, fast-paced films I've seen. Was it realistic? Who gives a shit? Why are you watching an action movie?
I had a friend actually complain to me that he liked the movie, but he didn't like it as much because it seemed like Liam Neeson was this unstoppable Uberman who couldn't be beaten, which to me is not a problem. To me, that is like one of the upsides of the movie. You're talking about a guy that is a former CIA operative and like killer, basically.
He's a badass, yeah.
Going up against a bunch of like, not even like mafia thugs. You're talking about like, or like Armenian organized crime in
Albanian.
France.
Was it? Albanian, yeah. And just so listeners know that I have a great deal of knowledge on this kind of stuff. It's one of my hobbies. And I was raised in a military family, et cetera. I don't know how that has anything to do with it. But I can tell you that these guys that do these kind of things, they exist. They're real. And they make the guy from Burn Notice look like a giant pussy. And he is a giant pussy.
We'll have to go over that in a podcast sometime soon about how much I hate Burn Notice now. I went from it being one of my favorite shows to it being one of the worst shows on television. Stay tuned to a future podcast.
Stay tuned. Maybe that's the next one. We can bitch about that then. The only thing that's different about these badasses is that when a group of people attack a single person, usually the group of people win. And it doesn't matter how retarded or Albanian they are. I'm really seriously kidding my Albanian friends, but
at least in that movie, it didn't put him in too many situations where he got attacked by groups of people at the same time, so they didn't have to cheat it. At the most, it was only 2 or 3, and they did a good job of like showing
like the
him
pipe.
Like getting his ass beaten, and while he's like taking out the single guy or trying to turn it around and use the person as a shield, it didn't overdo it. It tried to keep it realistic. He like when he gets loose towards the end of the movie, and the guy goes to open the door and like see what's going on, he just immediately shoots the dude in the face. Yeah. Like he's waiting, the dude opens the door, he's standing there waiting, and shoots the guy in the face. Where he shoots the guy in the back of the head when he's coming down the stairs when he goes to the house.
He's uncannily accurate for using a pistol, sure. I mean, it's like if you want realism.
Of course, he's also not making any long shots. Everything is usually within probably 20 to 30 feet. So he's not taking chances.
You want to watch like realism, watch Uwe Boll's Darfur. I'll give you a little I'll give you a little hint. They all fucking die, and they die horribly.
It makes Hotel Rwanda look like the feel-good movie of the year.
Yeah, yeah. Or watch The Killing Fields. Let me give you a spoiler. A lot of Cambodians die, and it's one of those things. Like, I'm not watching Taken. I'm watching Taken because I want to see this dude kill a bunch of motherfuckers that took his daughter.
Yeah.
Right?
You're wanting the ultimate revenge film, and I personally feel like revenge films get muddied when they try to throw in too many, like, hindrances for the hero.
Punisher.
They have to beat his ass for a while so he can get back up and finish his revenge. There are certain movies that works, that the guy just keeps taking an ass whipping and coming back.
Yeah.
But
Death Sentence.
That was another feel-good movie. A revenge film that is trying to be both satisfying while also having the underlying message of violence begets violence. Begets
violence, yeah.
And if you try, you cannot possibly get revenge.
Yep. But the other thing is, like, this, like, I just want to say, whoever's working, there's going to be another Punisher film. You know there is. I want the people who are doing the next Punisher film sit down and be forced to watch Taken for 72 hours straight. And so they understand that's how you do a
Taken
Punisher movie.
Taken was, like, Luc Besson likes genre films. He likes playing with different genres. He played with science fiction and Fifth Element and did a great job of
that. Great film, yeah.
He played with the James Bond film in Transporter 2 by mocking it, and also played with, like, kind of the same kind of, like, crime martial arts conventions in the three Transporter movies. And then this is, I guess, his attempt at kind of like the Bourne film. The Bourne film was popular, but he wanted to kind of take it, like, strip it, I guess, of the intrigue and just make it a simple movie. Like, what would happen if Jason Bourne just wanted to go beat the shit out of some people to save somebody?
Yeah.
And it's not even like uber spy. We're talking about, like, a guy that just, like, one of the best in his field who happened to get his daughter kidnapped and then proceeds to track down the people and murder every one of them.
That's right. It's the classic, you fucked with the wrong dude.
I mean, there are people complaining on IMDb about, like, well, how does he get away with this? How does he, like, he's obviously going to get tried for all these murders. I'm like, yeah, because like, organized criminals and corrupt cops are real quick to try to bring the law into things. And he was also there in a private jet. It's not like he couldn't just get back on, like, his ex-wife's current husband's jet and fly the fuck back out without anybody stopping him.
They have to figure out who's killing the guys in the first place. And besides, well, people put too much thought into this shit. Like, I don't care. Like, are these the same people that watch Reign of Fire and said it's unrealistic? Like, you know, come on. Like, seriously, screw you. You know, like, just watch the goddamn movie. It's not realistic. It's a fucking movie. I've never seen a realistic film. They don't exist. Even documentaries are spiced up, for fuck's sake. So, come on.
But yeah, I could watch another 30 minutes of Taken of just him beating people's asses.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Go to, like, three or four more locations just to murder the shit out of some people.
So, Taken 2, what do you think? Should it have a sequel?
I mean, I love the idea of a Taken sequel because I want to see more. But at the same time, I'm not sure about a Taken sequel because from the vague plots that have already been mentioned, it could be great, it could be bad. It involves something, I guess, about him and his ex-wife, and I don't know who else or why him and his ex-wife would be together, or if this is just a misunderstanding of the plot, but the two of them being on vacation in, like, Turkey or something.
So what you're saying is the new Taken film will involve her having she'll slip and fall and hurt her head. Is that going too far? That's probably going too far.
But it's supposedly them on vacation in Turkey, and then the father of, I guess, I don't know if it's the father of, like, some of the Albanian guys, or the father of Marco, or if it's the father of, like the Sheik. I guess the implication is that it's the father of, like, Marco or Samba, or one of the Albanians sends people after them and kidnaps them or something.
Well, there's one thing that people should know. If you don't know already, you might know Albanians are popping up, especially by European writers and filmmakers. An Albanian crime family was the center of one of the best absolute best Punisher storylines by Garth Ennis called The Slavers, which you need to pick the fuck up right now and read. And it's how they should do a Punisher film. But the Albanians, look, you don't fuck with the Albanians, okay? They will fuck you up.
Yeah, Eastern Europeans are some pretty hard motherfuckers that have seen bad times.
Oh, Eastern Europeans are pussies. I'm talking about Balkan people. Balkan people are not pussies.
Anything like east of Eastern Europe, it's like all those people have just seen shit. Like Russia, all of like basically what we consider the white part of Asia and all of Eastern Europe. Those are some hard motherfuckers, and they have no problem doing incredibly awful crimes because they've seen shit.
Albania is right by Greece. They, as a people, like the immigrants have become the new, like how Polish and Italian immigrants and Irish immigrants and black people are viewed in the United States. They're basically viewed as the new gypsies or whatever you want to call them, like Roma or whatever you want to call them. Like they're Albanians are viewed. They're
transient scum who are just kind of meandering into the country.
That's how they're viewed. Yes. I mean, they're not. They have a rich and very awesome culture. And I actually am I've read a lot about Albanian history and I'm a big fan about Albanian culture and history, but they are the kick toy of Europe. It's like Belgium became too boring to mock Albanians. And it's usually like, if you're an idiot, you're an Albanian. They are people, a lot of North Americans and even some Europeans don't even realize this, but Albania is kind of like the retard center of Europe, according to like Germans and the Dutch. And I'm sure some Dutch person will disagree with that. It's the Norwegians or the Spanish. That is the place everybody mocks. But so they have a brutal, badass crime syndicates that come out of Albania because they're like poor, you know, like anywhere else. It's just like, you know, like Somali gangs or something. You know, it's the Somali of Europe. That's actually a really good way of putting it. But anyway, yeah. So taken to it, I would hope it would be the Albanians coming after, not the Sheikh, because I'm kind of tired of seeing Arabs as bad guys. I mean, I know that the radical Muslims are so bad and they're going to kill us all with their bombs, but really, like, I'm more terrified of Albanian terrorists personally, especially since you can make them Muslims as well. So,
but supposedly, I don't know if both him and his wife get kidnapped, or ex-wife, I should say. I don't know what the deal is, but it sounds like, at least according to like IMDb and stuff, that that's what the plot they're trying to go with. I don't know when it's supposed to come out. I didn't pay attention. I guess I could look it up, but I don't care that much. But it's like one of those things that when it comes out, I'm going to see it, but I don't know if it was the best idea. But at the same time, I trust him. I mean,
well, apparently it was supposed to be made. Like it was taken.
It was intended.
In two parts. Yeah, he needs to pay the piper now. I mean, you don't just go mess with crime families and stuff and then expect no retaliation. So,
but you know. I just hope they don't try to overdo it with the like humbling him aspect, because sometimes you want to watch a movie where the person just knows what the fuck they're doing and is able to beat the piss out of everybody. Because, I mean, you wouldn't watch I mean, it's stupid enough when, like, you have some movie like Roadhouse or something where some bouncer comes to town and every bodyguard is of some, like, hick yokel millionaire are all martial arts masters. It's like, you have some, it's always like
everybody
in every gang ever is a trained martial arts expert, because you know so many gang members that are into martial arts.
Especially in the American South, yes.
It's like every movie has to have everyone using martial arts, despite the fact that they really should not know. Like Asian mafia members, it's like the higher ups always being the biggest badasses. It's like, if you were the biggest, toughest badass in all of your organization, why are you like upper management? Why aren't you doing actual work? Why did they promote you to the top if you're the one who is the best at getting anything done?
Every Steven Seagal film, they circle him and then they all go one at a time or maybe two at a time after.
Everything is on a tiered video game boss system where the higher up a person is in the food chain, the tougher they have to be. It makes perfect sense, because you want to hire a bunch of pussies to work for you and you're the toughest guy in town.
Taken 2, definitely gonna watch it. Okay, so we're excited. We love Taken. We highly recommend the film. If you haven't seen it, we hope you like it too. Maybe next time we can talk about Chronicles of Riddick, the new Riddick film.
Yes.
That's coming
I'll
out, because I'm excited about that. I know you probably are as well, because we both really like the
I don't care what it is. I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to like it.
We're big Vin Diesel and David Tui fans.
Yeah.
I even like Below. I don't really like that movie.
I had mixed feelings, probably because I saw it like 10 years after the fact or something. Oh, it was like something that I heard was great at the time, and then I didn't see it till it was like an IFC or something a million years later, and it was like it did not age probably as well. Of course, I'm not a big fan of, like, isn't it kind of like haunted ship movie from what I remember?
Sort of, yeah. It's like a long Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, it kind of fits in that weird like ghost house niche with like Event Horizon and some other things that try to like do haunted house movies in an interesting different way, but
It's a really, really good low budget film. I highly recommend it if you like spooky stuff.
Yeah,
but
I'm not a fan, big fan of supernatural horror, though.
Right. I'm more that guy. But I was gonna say, one thing I want to mention before we wrap up is that I'm very, very excited about Adventure Time, which is probably one of the best cartoon shows ever, is having a comic coming out from the Kaboom imprint of Boom Studios, who put out some fine comics. And next time we do plan on talking about Thulu, which is a 6-pack adventure from Pathfinder, a system that I think neither one of us have played, but it's out from Postmortem Studios, which they gave me for review, so that's us. And it's I always like what Postmortem comes out with, and I really like the idea of 6-pack adventures, really like short adventures that you can play in an evening. And
If I can see into the future, I think 6-pack Pathfinder Adventure will translate into D&D Edition Wars 3.5 Pathfinder and talking about what we like or don't like about D&D for probably a solid 30 minutes. So gird your loins for that, kids.
Oh, no, totally. And of course, we will discuss all 6 Caligula comics from David Lapham and Noble German, or is it German Noble? I think it's Noble German. That's the name of the guy, the artist.
That would be a really weird name if somebody actually named him German Noble. But
yeah, or Noble German. But anyway, point is, it's got great art. So the basically incredibly gory, not for like kids or most other humans. It's Caligula. It's a comic about Caligula. So what do you expect? Written by the Stray Bullets and Deadpool Max alum, writer David Lapham. Ryan and I have the issues, and we're gonna cover them. And I think we might also cover RoboCop.
Yeah, RoboCop comic.
RoboComics. Yeah.
If time permitting, after our 45-minute argument about why D&D X edition sucks.
It's not Warhammer. Argument solved.
Yeah. Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay will solve all your problems by not being D&D.
Or the Chaosium basic roleplay system. Yeah. So it's, or GURPS, or anything percentile based.
But all this and more next time.
That's right.
Next time on the Mouth Fist Podcast.
That's right. Next time on the Mouth Fist Podcast. I'm Steve Saunders, and you can also follow for you nerds out there, you can follow my Diary of a Grog Nerd blog. That's Grog Nerd, GROGNERD, blogspot.com, where currently I'm playing through Judge Dredd versus Judge Death, an incredibly crappy video game, but you know, it's still somewhat fun because I'm a big Judge Dredd fan, and I'll be writing about that there soon. I'm painting a pink space marine.
And I'm Ryan Speck, who probably should have talked Steve Saunders into putting all of his Diary of a Grog Nerd stuff on Media Gauntlet so there'd be actual content, but didn't. Yeah,
probably.
So
we can link it.
Cross-posting.
Cool.
And also, if you're vaguely interested in reading anything I had to say on the internet, go to ryanspeck.com for various links, and I will meet you there.
That's right. So thanks for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed it, the 3 to 12 of you who are listening. 12, I know. I'm stretching. Reaching there. Reaching for the stars.
You're hoping, or you're at least thinking that maybe over a long enough time period, this being the first episode, the one that most people will listen to, that eventually by, say, 2017, 12 people will have listened to it.
There you go. That makes sense. Yeah. So we'll be back in a few days with a new podcast.
days.
And
yes, everything can be measured in days. So we will be back in a number of days.
In a certain D6 number of days.
On Ryan Speck, Steve Saunders time, that could be anywhere between 1 week and 2.5 years.
Or 2017. That's right.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for listening, folks. Thank you. Ryan, any last words?
No.